Hello and welcome to Agile Sustainability. Today we'll talk about designing business experiments for sustainability innovations. Given that the sustainability space is still changing rapidly, business experiments are an important tool to understand the impact of innovative change to the business. More specifically, how do we design the experiment? What can we learn from it? And how to use experiments to reduce the risk of change? To give insights to all these questions, we are excited to have Iaka with us today, who released very interesting research on business experiments for sustainability innovations. Hi, Iaka. So nice to have you join us today. Before we get to the questions,
thank you for having me.
Before we get to the questions, can you introduce yourself and your research to our listeners?
Yes, thank you for having me. So I am Ilka. I'm based in Europe and hold both German and UK citizenships. So just the personal background. I am a postdoctoral researcher at the Leuphana University in Germany, and I'm quite a rare beast in that I have one leg in academia and one leg in practice, if you wish. My research completely focuses on sustainable innovation, and in that respect, in particular, on experimentation. So by that, I mean how you learn by doing in a way that enables businesses to reach their sustainability goals. And from August, I will actually start working with an innovation agency based in Hamburg, Germany, and New York and the States, who are on the journey to changing all of their innovation offers to businesses towards circular economy. We've got a really interesting publication on circular economy and blockchain technology this year, and we analyzed the research practice gap.
It was
very, very interesting because we said the energy use of the blockchain technology and where how that energy is sourced is not at all appreciated by many people who use this technology. And we all had a big laugh when Elon Musk tweeted, coal and energy from coal for blockchain technology use is a bad, bad thing. And we were just like, yes, it is. We are very happy to read this. We are also very sorry for everybody who lost their nest eggs because of this tweet. But it was nice to see how we were spot on with our assessment of the situation there. I find it very interesting that you're doing this podcast, that you are from a software development perspective coming at sustainability. I think it's fantastic. Mm. And I'm very excited to be here today.
Wow, that's awesome. I have a feeling that we're going to get to a lot of great content today. And let's just set the stage first and start with the question, what are radical innovations in general? How are radical innovations different from normal innovations?
I think it's really useful to be quite specific about radical innovations in business and in particular who it is when referring to radical innovation. So I'd like to distinguish between the individual, the person within a business, then the organizational unit or the development team, and then the wider market level. So in terms of radical innovation, what is also a really nice distinction is to say, so for each of these levels, how new is it? So, for example, for a person who has never done anything in regard to sustainability and is required to change personal behavior whilst using different products and services, anything can be radical because it's a shift in the personal behavior. At the organizational level, if I'm having to change my processes, that is also radical. And at the market level, then you say, you know, what are some examples? Then you're talking about what did the introduction of the internet do to all of the strategies and operations that businesses do?
Why are the radical innovations essential during the business transitions in terms of sustainability?
That's a really great question. In terms of sustainability transitions, when especially when businesses start to realize the current business paradigm in terms of which is often we make something, we sell it, the consumer uses it, and then it's disposed of. So that's like a linear way, what I call the status quo of business activities. So in terms of sustainability, means that this needs to change, because otherwise we will not meet any of the absolute necessary goals in terms of resources and climate change emissions. So a business that starts on the journey towards sustainability is often seduced by what is in consultancy speak called the low-hanging fruit. So this is basically efficiency savings. So that means I produce more stuff with the same amount of input, so but I do it more efficient. So I use less water, I use less resource inputs. And radical innovations go beyond it. So they require that the thinking moves from the linear status quo of, we make, we use, we throw away, to often a more circular approach where you reuse component, where you design for disassembly, where you have standardized components, especially in because of the audience here, that's obviously relevant, standardized components in IT equipment. And that allows for a much more efficient use of the resources, but also it allows for a shift in the business models that underpins it. Radical innovations are the innovations that go beyond efficiency savings. So incremental innovations focus on making more stuff and products with fewer resource inputs. When it comes to a sustainability transition, we need to rethink how we see us as a flourishing society. If a company is focusing on the low-hanging fruit of efficiency, so that means they save money whilst also implementing social and environmental initiatives, then that will only get the company that far. If the example I mentioned earlier on, for example, from Mercedes, that goes from petrol car producing towards electric mobility provision and is exploring that as a way to set up their business, the implications of that are really, really far-reaching, and that is a sustainability transition. Mm. A car manufacturer that goes from simply previously having offered petrol cars to offering electric cars without thinking about what it means in terms of infrastructure, that is not a sustainability transition.
Mm. Yeah, it sounds like the sustainability transition is touching on multiple departments within the organization. Yeah, that's a good summary of radical innovations at different levels. Based on your past experiences working with businesses, what are the radical innovations that you see? What are the examples that you see in them?
I worked before I entered academia and did my PhD. I worked as a sustainable innovation consultant for 6 years. On the organizational level, I think a clothing company that is going from producing clothing towards clothing, offering clothing rentals, that is a radical innovation, because the business model that underpins that particular innovation requires changes in logistics, in operations, in human resources, in the way of accounting is done. So that's a lot of new, and radical innovation means new. Mm. Then at the market level, so if you, Mercedes is a nice example where they used to produce petrol cars and are now offering in Germany, for example, electric mobility provision through shared electric minibuses on demand. So that is going completely away from the business model at the organizational level, but it also has an impact on the overall mobility provisions in Germany.
Mm. What are the barriers and challenges that you think would jeopardize the business innovation?
It has been proven that on the on the people level, it is a restrictive mindset that is the key barrier for radical innovation, and that was done by two researchers called Birgitta Sandberg and Lena Arikastenros, and they published research on this back in the year 2014. And they found, when they looked at all the barriers, it is basically that people think they can't do it. And that is the absolute key barrier in terms of radical innovation. So you think, oh, this is new, as I said earlier, this is new to our business. Oh, but that means that is too tricky. We won't be able to do it. And that mindset is the key barrier for radical innovation in businesses. And what I observed was that certain barriers, and I think we are getting later to the barriers in this conversation, inhibit that.
So it sounds like the mindset on how the business should carry out is so well established that it's difficult to have an alignment within different departments in the same organization. Then what capability would help the business to overcome these barriers and challenges?
For me, I strongly think that experimentation as a capability is absolute key to overcome that. And by that, I mean action-led learning. Because if you get results from experiments, you can use these results to further your radical innovations for sustainability. So, for example, if a company says we want to move away from producing clothing to have a rental model for our clothing goods, then there are lots of customer assumptions underpinning that. And an experiment would then obviously test these customer assumptions whilst also ensuring that the business model that is coming out of the learning that is generating through these experiments is still profitable. And the right kind of learning, and I call right kind of learning, are the ones that keep the momentum of the innovation process, because the restrictive mindset is the key barrier for radical innovation. Overcoming this restrictive mindset is the experimentation. However, what I often observed is that if something doesn't work, like an experiment, then the mindset kicks in a bit. We tried this and it doesn't work. And therefore, the whole approach doesn't work. And for me, this is the crucial point that businesses and researchers need to crack. How do you make sure that you set up the experiments in the way that even if you get negative results in a way that your assumptions are not correct, you still continue with your journey towards the radical innovation that will enable a transition to sustainability?
So it sounds like the business experiments play a very important role on validating the assumptions for the business and also challenging the people mindset that are established so that they can open up their mindset to accept new changes based on the result of the experiments. Then that leads to the question of how can the business design the experiments so that the results are meaningful?
I would refer to, in terms of Osterwalder, you know, the business model canvas. I think you and your audience all know the business model canvas, correct?
Just for the benefit of the few who is not familiar with the concept, can you elaborate a little bit more on the business canvas idea?
Okay. So you've got basically the business model canvas is the execution of the business model. So you have got the value, what is it that we are producing and selling and for whom, and how are we doing that? So that is the key that underpins this particular business framework. And the authors who came up with that is Alex Osterwalder and many colleagues, also came up with a way of testing different elements of this business model, which they call experimentation as well. So in terms of the how, a lot of it is this customer focused. And I think this is the link then to the lean startup approach, for example, that the experimentation in terms of setting it up. I like how the lean startup approach is focusing and engaging the customer. So you're always testing the market with your assumptions. And it is up to the business doing the experiments to ensure that the sustainability components and goals, so I mean the positive social contribution and as few as possible negative environmental impacts and as many as possible positive environmental contributions are achieved. In terms of the process, I have observed with a large clothing manufacturer who used the lean startup approach, it is not really different from approach process for radical innovation when it is about sustainable radical innovation. The business model canvas and the lean startup approach are really useful Trojan horses for businesses to start engaging in radical sustainability innovation.
Because why is that a Trojan horse? Sorry.
A Trojan horse is where you have the do you know the myth of the Trojan horse? Where So basically the business model canvas and the lean startup approach seem as ways of maximizing financial profits and of perpetuating and improving the business from a conventional business way of thinking. And if you add the sustainability component as a business on that and do the market testing, then that is a really good way of engaging people internally and other business units and other businesses in this. Because you can say, look at what are these fantastic business tools, and I've got this learning from these fantastic business tools. They won't be able to say no, because you used the right tools to make your point and to convey the experimental learning and get to the learning that you want in order to push the sustainability agenda.
Oh, yeah, I think that's a very good point. I never thought about it that way.
Yeah, because if you go at sustainability and innovation from a perspective of, hello, business, you need to change how you do things completely, you're going to lose almost everyone that you're engaging in business straight away. Mm. So I know it's not very original, but I'm completely a firm believer that you need to use tools that have been proven and tested within the business community and adapt those for sustainability purposes in order to enable a sustainability transition.
Yeah, completely agree. Cool. So what I hear about the two keywords just now is the business canvas as well as the lean startup methodology, which is good for the business to do learning by doing. And usually about the experiments, how long do they last?
So this is where I think this podcast is so interesting, because I'm currently exploring in terms of the 2-week development cycles that underpin the Agile philosophy. I'm very interested in that, so have as short as possible learning cycles. In businesses who are talking about experiments, so I was observing experiments that partly lasted 8 months, at which point, in my view, it's not really an experiment anymore, because what you're testing with the customer has got very little to do with what you set out to test initially with your hypothesis. So my answer to that is, how long that they last, I think you should have a very clear time frame on absolute time limit that you're going to spend to test the assumption you want to test with your experiment.
I think the time frame of the experiments is also an important factor to consider, given that we have this 2030 goal and then 2050 goal to reach carbon neutrality. Then that is a very important factor to consider, which is the time range for the experiment. So we've covered pretty much on doing business experiments, how to design and create one, and how to learn from the results of the experiment. I think the last question that we will touch on is, this will be very beneficial between the collaboration of the academic researchers and business practitioners. So based on your past working experience with both, how would you propose they can work more efficiently together, given their different mindset and working habits?
I think defining the common objective. There is an approach that is called transdisciplinary research, which is all about doing research that is of relevance for practitioners. And practitioners having a problem, and research helps to address and looking towards solution to that problem. In terms of how to do that most efficiently, in my experience, setting the goal together is very important. And my recommendation would be to be really clear what the skill set is of the communities that are interacting. So in a project that is looking to create a radical innovation, giving the academics the tasks of doing operational stuff like setting up the experimentation process, coordinating it, designing the materials well, is not a good idea. That should always be with the practice partner. The most efficient use of these collaborations I have observed is ensuring to give room for one-to-one collaboration. So there needs to be space for the discussion. And secondly, being very clear what the key skills are that either of those parties bring to the project.
Cool. Thanks for sharing that. And I think that was a very interesting session on business experiments for sustainability innovations. I hope our listeners learned as much as I did today. For those who want to learn more about Erica's research and create meaningful business experiments, you can find her website in your podcast description. Thank you so much for joining us today, Erica. It's our absolute pleasure to have you.
Lovely. You're doing good stuff. Good luck. And also good luck with your new project.
If you're interested in the questions we're planning to address, please visit our podcast homepage at www.agilesustainability.org. Let's collect more puzzle pieces on sustainability together. Subscribe and stay tuned.